This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. 50 years ago today, a debate over the purchase of new textbooks kicked off a broader cultural conflict.
The conflict revealed in that board meeting continues to bubble up in our public schools.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Last week, the governor unveiled a series of murals in the Capitol's rotunda. The inclusion of the governor's pet in one piece has delighted some, but raised concern with others. Brianna Heaney has more.
Governor Jim Justice's English bulldog, Baby Dog, has been a common political prop, appearing in official campaign photos and also being present at many of the governor's speeches. Baby Dog's likeness was portrayed in one of the murals unveiled on Thursday. Critics say that immortalizing Baby Dog's likeness in state murals is a misuse of taxpayer dollars. The total cost of the project is $350,000. Secretary of Arts and Culture Randall Reed Smith oversaw the project and has defended the decision.
First thing I want to say, thank you to everybody in the press, because people are coming to see those murals because of Baby Dog, because they love her.
The secretary went on to say that the governor did not have a role in deciding what would be included in the murals. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
Half a dozen companies owned by the family of Governor Jim Justice could be sold to satisfy longstanding debt, according to a court ruling last week. Curtis Tate has more.
In a ruling filed June 20th in U.S. District Court in Delaware, Judge Robert G. Andrews ordered the sale of six Justice companies. Based on the order, the proceeds would be used to pay Caroling Investments, a Caribbean investment company to which Justice owes at least $10 million. Caroling is the same company that pursued the seizure and sale of a helicopter owned by another Justice company, Bluestone Resources, in federal court in Southwest Virginia. Caroling is a subsidiary of Russian mining company Mekel, owned by oligarch Igor Zayuzin. The six companies in the Delaware ruling are Bluestone Mineral, National Resources, Bluestone Coal Sales, Newfac Mining Company, Frontier Coal Company, and Kentucky Fuel Corporation. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
There's a deadline looming for business owners across the state. Tens of thousands of them still haven't filed their annual reports as required by law. Maria Young sat down this week with Secretary of State Mac Warner, who's hoping all of them get the job done by midnight Sunday night, just not all at once.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Secretary. Let's start with, for those who don't own their own businesses and don't know, what exactly are these reports?
This is a requirement by state code that there be a repository of all the businesses in the state. This is for our citizens. They want to find an address or find out who an officer is of a particular business or corporation. There may be a lawsuit and you want to file service or process on a business. This is the one place you can go. It's our website, wvsos.gov. And so we keep track of just about 150,000 businesses, nonprofits, and charities.
But it doesn't sound like, you know, these are not like paying your taxes, so there's not potentially or arguably a benefit to waiting until the last minute.
There's no benefit, just the deadline comes up at the end of June, so we are in the last week of this. But if you miss this deadline, which is midnight on Sunday, we have to impose a $50 late fee, and until you pay that, then you're in non-compliance. And the significance of that is, let's say you're in a business deal, you're, say, closing on some real estate or getting a bank loan, and they want to know that you are in compliance, you are a legitimate business in West Virginia. They will check that website, and if it shows non-compliance, then the red flags go up.
Sure. So you mentioned roughly 150,000 businesses registered across the state with your office. How many have filed at this point?
We just went over 60% just in the last day or so. And that is, like I said, slightly better than last year, so we're not too concerned. But we're still 40% of the businesses still left to report.
That's an awful lot of companies out there. So if everybody waits until 11:58 p.m. on Sunday, June the 30th, is that going to be a problem?
It may be. That's why it's good that we're talking about it and people do it as they think about it this week, as they hear about it.
If you're doing business with somebody and happen to check and see that they're out of compliance, should that be a red flag?
It should be a red flag, and you should then ask them why they're not in compliance. And that's what we want to avoid. The one thing that I would like to bring up is that there is no need for a third-party involvement. You don't need to pay somebody else to file this for you. It's like you can pump your own gas. Why pay somebody $100 to fill up your tank? You can do it yourself. What we've typically seen year after year is a company, typically out of state, that sends you a letter that looks very official, like it's a government letter when it really isn't, and then they charge $125 to do it for you. And we just want to, it's not necessarily a scam, but it's taking advantage of people. And so I would say don't be taken advantage of. Just go right online, fill it out yourself, and join the 98% of the people that do it online. If you want to do it by paper, you can fill out the paperwork and send it in. But it's kind of like an absentee ballot. It has to be postmarked by June 30th. And if it's not, then the late fee will apply.
Sure. Sounds relatively routine and not terribly complicated. And you're just hoping folks will, you know, check that box and get on to their next list of things to do. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
That was Secretary of State Mike Warner speaking with Maria Young about the deadline for businesses to file their annual reports. To read more online, visit our website at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Areas of fog this morning, partly to mostly sunny skies today, highs in the 70s and 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the 50s and 60s. Partly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 80s and low 90s. Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Fifty years ago today, the Kanawha County Board of Education set off a chapter of the nation's culture wars as it debated whether to purchase a controversial series of new textbooks. The meeting room was packed and emotions were hot. Us and Them host Trey Kay produced an award-winning documentary about the textbook controversy and provides this reflection.
The year I was in seventh grade, the Board of Education was considering new English and language arts textbooks to reflect America's multicultural society. School board member Alice Moore, the wife of a local preacher, was offended by some of the material that she believed to be unpatriotic and anti-Christian. However, there were many people in Kanawha County who supported these new multicultural textbooks. The West Virginia Human Rights Commission, the Council of Churches, and the NAACP all wanted classroom materials to include works by African-American writers like James Baldwin, Gwendolyn Brooks, and Langston Hughes.
Will the meeting please come to order?
The June 27th board meeting and the decision whether to purchase the books was a high-stakes issue with significant consequences. Some textbook critics feared references to the Vietnam War might open the door to unpatriotic views. The opponents cited an English textbook with an E.E. Cummings poem that they considered to be pornographic. Another book included a racially and sexually charged passage by former Black Panther Eldridge Cleaver. School board member Alice Moore was offended by the inclusion of a Sigmund Freud essay.
In the same book, Essays in Theory, there's another article on the sexuality of children, their sexual feelings toward their parents. where they spell out quite explicitly how every little girl has a very sexual desire for her father.
Anyway, Sigmund Freud, this was something he had said, and he said every child, every boy desires to have sex with his mother, and every girl desires to have sex with her father. And that was so repulsive to me, to think that any child would see that. I knew that thought would never leave their mind.
16 people testified at the board meeting that night, 10 in favor of the new books and 6 against them. Mike Winger supported the new textbooks at that meeting. Winger said it was important to give children a sense of their reality.
If I have been successful as a parent, nothing my children can read in school can hurt them. Most of us remember the childhood saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words, and I would add ideas, can never harm me. To summarize, this is the only world in which we live. We cannot hide it from our children. We can only determine when they will find it and where they will find it. Let them find it today rather than tomorrow, and let them find it here in our schools rather than on some street corner in New York or in some rice paddy in Vietnam. Thank you.
As a seventh grader in 1974, I saw Kanawha County's textbook war as symbolic. It brought violence to my city, to places I knew. Shots were fired at empty school buses. School buildings were dynamited and firebombed. Many families kept children out of schools. And a business boycott hurt the entire region. The textbook controversy also showed me adults who were unwilling or unable to compromise. The conflict revealed in that board meeting continues to bubble up in our public schools. In Kanawha County, the question in 1974 was how school classrooms could include the full spectrum of the Black experience in American culture and think critically about societal structures. Culture war battles continue today, as the National Education Association reports that nearly half of schools face challenges to teaching about issues of race and racism and their policies and practices relating to LGBTQ issues. One third of schools report attempts to limit access to books in the library. Most everyone agrees the stakes are high. As the culture wars play out in our public schools, these debates can really undermine confidence. Our education system values local control, which means each of the nation's nearly 13,600 school districts tackles these debates independently. Educators, parents, and students all play a crucial role, each bringing their own sense of values and rights to the discussion. That's often why this fundamental rift in American values bubbles to the surface. We all believe in rights and have values, but whose rights and values take precedence? It's so easy in today's climate to create an us versus them atmosphere. But as I've learned from talking across the cultural divide for more than a decade, when we really listen to each other, there are ways to see fresh perspectives and sometimes even come to new conclusions. Yet, when we're in the middle of a values battle, it's pretty scary because we just don't know how things will end. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Trey Kay in Charleston.
To hear Trey Kay's full documentary, The Great Textbook War, tune in tonight to WVPB at 8 p.m. It will air again on Saturday, June 29th at 3 p.m. Us and Them is supported by the West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation.
Thank you.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills.